morning we're going to continue our series on miracles in American history. And we have studied the American Revolution. We've gone through that whole period of time and looked at the miracles that God performed during that forming of our nation, how wonderful that those stories are. And I think a lot of people don't know, or this time in American history I'm going to talk about today is kind of lost, maybe because of the big events that surrounded it, and it's kind of swallowed up in that. But about 30 or 35 years later, after miraculously winning the war for independence, the United States of America found itself again at war with Great Britain. And to understand this, just a little bit of history, after our war, the French, who had been our allies in that war, if you remember, General Lafayette fought beside General Washington, a great ally of General Washington's. Lafayette, Indiana is named after him. And the French were enamored with our revolution, and they desperately wanted something like that in their country. But unfortunately, they totally misunderstood and misapplied what the foundation of our country was. And the French Revolution is, people that say they're the same, it's like night and day. There's no comparison. It is a totally godless revolution and a bloody mess, just a horrible time. And out of that bloody mess rises Napoleon. And Napoleon then would crown himself emperor and become a dictator in France, and then begin a rampage across Europe. Eventually, 6 million people, citizens and military, would die because of the Napoleonic Wars. And so Great Britain turns all of its attention against the French and against stopping this juggernaut as he begins to take over, as Napoleon begins to take over Europe. One of the things that Britain did during this time, and as they fought, the fought Napoleon, was they searched and seized over 1,000 of our ships on the Atlantic Ocean. And worse than that, they forced into service for the British Navy 6,000 of our American sailors in their fight here against Napoleon. So the British eventually would defeat Napoleon, making a very long story short. And then they would turn their armies towards America. And they are now arguably the greatest empire that the world's ever seen, certainly the strongest military might the world's ever seen. And they were hoping to punish the Americans, I think, for their previous rebellion. Now, these are battle-hardened, battle-readied soldiers and sailors that turned their attention to the Americas. And I think they were intent on humiliating and the American states and regaining those lost colonies. And so the British even instigated American Indians to make attacks on American settlements, just a lot of very terrible things going on at this time. The American public was outraged by these actions, and a Congress eventually declares war on Britain in 1812. And President James Madison, we'll talk about him in just a minute, but he's president now. And he, in his declaration of war before Congress, he ends it by saying, "We shall commit a just cause into the hands of the almighty disposer of events." The war is referred to as the War of 1812, or the Second American War for Independence. And frankly, almost like the first war, it's almost considered over before it began, because here we have a brand new formed nation, not much of a military, and the strongest military might in the world coming against us. And the British had really, they hoped also that it was over before it began. But the British had a three-pronged approach, and the reason I bring this up is so we can understand what's going to happen. But they're a military geniuses running this army, and they decided to divide and conquer the American states. And the first thing they were going to do was invade and destroy Washington, D.C. And then they would turn and invade America from the north through Canada and destroy the northern states, and then they would turn and sail south and come up through New Orleans and destroy all the southern states and take America back. James Madison, the great friend of the Baptists, if you remember, the author of the Constitution, the author of the First Amendment to the Constitution. He proclaims a day of prayer on July 9th. He says, I do therefore recommend rendering the sovereign of the universe a public homage, acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke his divine displeasure, seeking his merciful forgiveness, and with a reverence for the unerring precept of our holy religion, to do to others as they would require that others should do to them. The next year, July 23rd, Madison issues another day of prayer, and the entire nation really goes to its knees asking God for help. Strategy was to divide and conquer. On August 24th, 1814, the British invaded Washington, D.C. This is the newly formed capital of the United States. In panic, the citizens evacuate, and Madison and his wife barely escape. The armies are coming in. In fact, history records that they passed the British general on the way out of town. They passed the British general as he was coming into town. And Dolly Madison is credited with saving much of the White House valuables. She even cuts from the frame the famous Washington portrait that you see here. She cuts it from the frame, tucks it under her arm, and runs for her carriage. She and her staff had just cooked dinner for a state dinner, and they had the food on the table, and they had to leave the food as they escaped. Well, the British general, he comes into Washington, D.C. He immediately goes to the White House, and he and his officers sit down at these tables that the food is just still warm. And they mockingly eat that food, and then they burn the White House. He goes to the U.S. Capitol, and he takes all of his soldiers into the room where the congressmen sit, and they hold a mock session of Congress. And he says, who wants to burn the Capitol? And they all say, I. And then they burn the Capitol. They burn the Library of Congress. They burn the Treasury Building, the Patent Office, the War Department, and even the Navy Yards. But then God began to answer the prayers of a terrified nation. And history says that at that moment, within just minutes, the sky begins to grow dark. The winds pick up, and eventually, within about an hour, we have hurricane gale winds descending on Washington. This devastates the British Navy that's out in the bay. Many of them, you know, it's whipping their ships around. They cut anchor and they sail back out into the water. Tornadoes touch down and pick up British cannons and throw them yards away, burying most of the British offensive power. The tornadoes that descend on the city tear the roofs off buildings and chimneys, and they rain roofing material and bricks and stone down on the British army. Then a lightning storm moves in, throws most of the officers and their horses to the ground. And these sudden tornadoes and lightning storm really incapacitate the British army. And the troops in panic run back to the ships that had dropped them off in the harbor to find that the ships weren't there. They were out in the ocean because they were thrown. They had to cut anchor to stop from being crashed on the rocks. And so there's the army stranded on the shore of the Atlantic. General Cockburn, for his part, this is recorded by a British historian who heard the conversation. He sees a lady running down the street in trying to escape, and he yells to her. He says, "Goodness, madam, is this the kind of weather you have in this infernal country?" And she turns to him, and this is recorded for history. She says, "No, sir, this is the special interposition of Providence to drive our enemies from our city." The people knew exactly what God was doing. And as the British fled, torrential rain came for over 2 hours, extinguishing the flames. One British historian said, who was there, he said, "More British soldiers were killed by this stroke of nature than by all the arms the American could muster in the feeble defense of their capital." Washington would have to be rebuilt, but God had provided a miracle. It's an amazing thing. On September 1st, Madison wrote this just a few days later. He said, "The enemy, by a sudden incursion, has succeeded in invading the capital of our nation. During their possession, though for a single day only, they wantonly destroyed the public edifices, an occasion which appeals so forcibly to the patriotic devotion of the American people, and none will forget. Independence is now to be maintained with the strength and resources which heaven has blessed. And Congress, by a joint resolution, desires that in the present time of public calamity and war, a day of public humiliation and fasting and a prayer to Almighty God for the safety and welfare of these states, his blessing on their arms and speedy restoration of peace, that he would graciously be pleased to pardon all their offenses, I have deemed it proper to recommend a day of humble adoration to the great sovereign of the universe. And then he closes that address. But Madison and the entire nation knew that God had intervened and saved the Capitol and its citizens. Well, the British aren't done. It's a wonderful story, but they're not done. And they turned their massive army and navy to invade the South. And I will say, though, that God is not done either. And we'll hear the rest of that story next time we talk about this. But I want to encourage us, as I thought about this, I just want to encourage us what God has done on behalf of our nation. Over and over again, our country has been preserved and protected by the Lord. And I know that Christians, even now, maybe and especially now, are discouraged and disheartened by what's going on in our country. But I don't believe God's done with our nation yet. And you might have noticed a theme that goes through all these stories is that the people were intensely praying for the nation. And presidents would call on days of prayer and public humiliation to pray for our nation. And the citizens did pray. And so I just want to remind us, I don't think God's done with our nation. For one reason, we are the beacon of the gospel for the world. If you think about it. And I would just encourage us to not forget to pray for our nation. Sometimes when we get discouraged, and it's easy to be discouraged. I was just thinking, you know, we get discouraged, but yesterday the Indiana House passed probably one of the best abortion bills or anti-abortion bills in the nation. Now it has to go through a few more steps. But isn't that amazing? Did any of us think 6 months ago that something like that would happen? And not at all. And so God is blessing even in very dark times. And it's just good to remember that and remember some of the historical things that have happened. And I believe that God will answer our prayers.